What does being a multi-hyphenate artist mean to you?
The first thing that came to my mind is it just means existing as yourself. I was like questioning, like, oh, should I lead with photography? I don't want people to think I'm just that. Should I lead with directing? All of these things that was causing confusion in my mind around how I'm supposed to show up. And this last experience with this photography program reminded me as well that, like, I'm all of the things, and I've always been all of the things. Even before I came into this industry, you know, before I interacted with the people that I've interacted with, because since I was a kid, I was writing and taking pictures and drawing and short stories and plays, whatever. It's always been all the things. So multi-hyphenate for to me just means being.
Welcome to Josiah's Voice. This podcast connects you with both new storytellers and seasoned pros in Black cinema. Plus, I share my own creative journey along the way. Here's to elevating the culture.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Josiah, host of Josiah's Voice on Black Filmmaking. Welcome to another episode. I'm here today with multi-hyphenate artist Jabriel Henning Rayford. I said that right?
Yeah.
Here with her today to talk about photography, collaboration, networking, set life, directing, and so much more. So I want you guys to help me welcome Jabriel. Jabriel, welcome.
Hey, this is so cool. I'm thankful to be here. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Before I get into my other questions, actually, at the time of recording this, clarify for me, you had just had your first in a while gallery showcase, isn't that right? Can you talk about that photography showcase?
Yes, so this was actually my first one. I participated in a residency put on by the Black Image Center, which is in Los Angeles, on La Cienega Boulevard in Culver City. Actually, it's La Cienega Avenue in Culver City. But the Black Image Center is a place that was created for people who like just need a space to be able to photograph and gather and have an opportunity to showcase their work. So Black Image Center, along with a record label, I might be wrong on that, but it's called 10K Projects. They collaborated together to create this program. It was called In Motion, and they had 12 photographers come together to take different classes. And then we went on and did some photography with the theme of like in motion in mind. We learned lighting, and we got to work with a great photographer who's done a lot in the sports world. His name is Atiba Jefferson. He's really, really amazing. And we took those things and then put them into like some photos, and we had a chance to sit together and select the photos, and then they printed them for us and framed them and gave us a show. And it was my first time really ever printing my work myself, and then my first time framing and having an opportunity for people to come and see it. So yeah, that happened this past weekend.
That's awesome. So it was your first time having your work printed in that way. Were there any like awesome takeaways, or also was there anything to adjust to in that new process and new experience?
I think like the biggest takeaway that I got was, let me form it this way. That process, just the whole residency itself, really encouraged me to get back to the space of creating for creating's sake. I spent a lot of time moving through like parts of the entertainment industry. And sometimes when you're in those spaces, there can be a lot of focus on like how to cultivate work for the industry and with the things of the industry in mind, and like, oh, what kind of shows do they want to see? Or this is what executives like, or this is what you need to do in order for your work to get seen. You need to do these festivals, you just, all these like strategies and like ways that things are supposed to go. And so being back in a space where it was about learning again as a student and taking the things that I learned to apply them, it gave me that sense of like, we're supposed to be doing these things to just create, right? Like, yes, strategy is great. And yes, to know the business of something is important, but it really means nothing if you're not starting from the heart, if you're not starting from inspiration, if you're not starting from community and, you know, working together to create something. And so I really appreciated that from this program. It was like a little slap, like a gentle slap. to say like, no, remember what this is about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest thing for me. And I'm grateful for it.
What was it like working with your young cousin? I was enjoying seeing your updates on Instagram. And you always come across very family oriented. What was that like for you and him?
Yeah, that was fantastic. My cousin, he's 11 now, Messiah Garnett. He's like one of my little muses. I take pictures of him all the time. He's the best because he kind of at first presents like he doesn't want to do it, or like he's shy, or like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But he's very aware of the camera. He knows how to, you know, pose or whatever. And in this particular case, for this photo, it came, he didn't even remember taking it, because it just came. I was actually getting ready to photograph his mom, and I was going to use a reflector. And so he was playing around with the reflector on his head, and it was casting, or was like reflecting an image that was coming through his door, the front door of their home. And it was like the sun was beaming through and it was perfectly hitting. And he was so like, oh, this is so cool. Look. So he just starts doing this thing and I just start snapping away.
Wow.
And so, oh, are you gonna say something?
No, I'm just in awe of the story and thinking about the photos that I've seen. Oh, please continue.
Yeah. So he was doing that and it just was a cool moment, which that's what I noticed is a lot of my work. I'm not so much a creator who's like, especially for photography, I like to really capture what's there. There's so much magic in the moment. There's so much magic in like recognizing what's here in the present and capturing the present. And it just so happened that that cool moment had happened. And so I was like, let me get these pictures. I wasn't even there to photograph him. I had already photographed him the day before. And I used none of the pictures from our session together. So for that to be the one, it was just really fitting. And I love him. Like, he's the best. And I told him this is the first of many. Like, he's going to be in magazine. We're going to have him up on some more walls, you know?
I was about to say, it's the beginnings of a long collaboration, for sure.
Yes.
That's awesome. I love what you were saying about creating for creativity's sake. Was that something, maybe you alluded to welcoming the return, I guess it was like high time? Because at least my impression, I hope this comes across as a compliment, because that's how I mean it. You have certainly come across in the work I've seen, some of which more we'll get into, as someone who certainly did enjoy creating for creativity's sake, even though it's a business, even though you have bills to pay, even though, you know, you want to do amazing things and make money. At the time, was it indeed high time where it's like, I need to return to the root of play and joy? Is that right? Or am I leading the witness?
Yeah. No, that's right about play. You know, because I'm very thankful that the experiences that I've had so far in the industry have been really positive. Like, you know, I have met wonderful people and have worked and built some things with some great folks who also come from that space of just like, I came into this because I love this thing. I came into this because I love to write. I love to create images. I love, you know, so I've been fortunate, or it's just been this case that I've been around those kind of people. But I say that I became a freelance artist in 2021. And with that, I had to learn a lot about, or just kind of reconfigure myself, you know? And I'd spent, again, these years in the industry learning how the industry operates. And again, learning how, you know, again, executives and development for television and film and like all these processes, which mm-hmm. are great, but sometimes it does remove you a little bit from just the natural, like, where there's nothing else. There's no other reason other than, like, I just want to make this thing. Mm-hmm. But in the industry, there are these other reasons that are attached to it, you know? And sometimes you can compromise yourself, or I'm not saying that that was my particular experience, but I know that that's a general thing, like, just within the industry, you know, at large. And so, after I left, after I became a freelance artist, I had to then be like, oh, wow, who am I now? With all the things that I've learned, mixed with my natural inclination to just create images, to write, to just want to be in a space of creativity, how can I merge those two things? And I feel like recently I've gotten the opportunity to like fully integrate all that I've learned into this new phase of my life. And but play is the leading. So like, even if I'm going back in the industry, or, you know what I mean, having to navigate those waters, play and the love of the thing, I want to remain at the top of what I do, you know, and encourage others, even the people who are in these executive spaces and all of that, to encourage them and to have them remember the importance of the love and the play and the joy.
Ooh, that's beautiful. Okay. Especially, you know, life has been especially chaotic the past few years. We've all been coming through a lot, especially artists. And, you know, at the time of recording this, there's a lot of things going on, like with, you know, the Hollywood writer's strike is happening at the time of recording this, you know, praying and believing for resolution there. Because if you're a friend of the podcast and been following, you know, screenwriting is like one of my favorite forms of storytelling, is what got me into film in the first place. But that sense of play, getting back to that, finding that joy again, that's great. And it's also cool, hopefully I'm not making it more dramatic, but you also said your cousin's 11, and it's like, you know, when will we 11 last? You know, when we, that sense of innocence, certain responsibilities we didn't have. You're just talking about how you've worked in the industry. One day you may go back, but right now you're in your element, in your season of freelance, and that comes with different responsibilities. Those are things that young folks like him don't have to think about. So it's funny that we're talking about play and getting back to that, a stage like that. I'm like, and he's 11 years old. He was your subject for this project. That's something I saw anyway.
yeah, for sure. Yes.
For a second, before we get more into the rest of your art forms in freelance, can we talk a little bit about where you're from and what some of your artistic influences were growing up?
Yes. Well, first I was born in St. Louis. And when I was 4 months old, my mom moved here. Well, some of my family had already been here. So this house that I'm sitting in now, they bought it in 91. My grandparents bought it in 91, and I was born at the end of 93. So I came here with my mom. She just came here to this house, and I grew up in LA. But I would also spend like summers and winters going to Memphis, because that's where my grandparents were born. And my grandmother is the oldest of 14 kids. It's seven boys and seven girls. Yeah, so a lot of her family is still in Memphis. You know, some of them had gone to Kentucky, but so we would go there all the time. And they, family and lineage is so important to us. And so I got a lot of that throughout my childhood growing up. You know, we would have family reunions, and every family reunion, we would always go to like the African American museums, you know, we would always tour the city and wherever we were to know what the history was. And we know, we have like this oral history in terms of like my grandmother's like great-great-grandmother. Her name was Mandy. That's what they knew her as. And there's always this like link from where we come from to where we are now. And so I feel like in everything that I do, like, that's a through line. That's a thread. It's family. It's lineage. It's the connection between this earth realm and the realm that exists beyond the planet, you know? And so I always like merge those things. And that just comes from how I grew up and comes from being raised by like my grandma and, you know, that that part of my family. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Again, like I said earlier, I definitely have gotten that from how you talk about art, whether it's a freelance independent project, whether it's something in the industry, whoever you're collaborating with, whatever you're directing, your own. If I remember correctly, you also have something of a personal photography page that people can check out. I don't know, just that quality of spirit and approach to art. It definitely is refreshing. And it sounds like, yeah, it comes from, see, it does sound like it was nurtured. So you're not an anomaly amongst your own tribe, which is cool, right?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not. Everyone was art. My mom, singer, pianist, wrote plays and poems. My auntie writes songs, and, you know, she's a teacher, but she goes by the name Dr. C Love, and her whole thing is seeing love everywhere you go. And she could be a person that you could talk to. She would be fantastic.
Okay.
Because she does a lot of work in the she worked at a continuation high school. So a lot of her work is with people who have gone through traumatic experiences and just, you know, were trying to find their way in this life and all of that. So she would be definitely a person that you could talk to. But yeah, it's just been all around me, all the time. My granddaddy was a photographer, like everyone, poetry, singing, theater, like, you know, it's just been all throughout.
That's awesome, because I ask people, like, whether I met them on set or whether it's the podcast, I'm like, so do you come from film? Do you come from art? And maybe you've gone through this. Nine times out of 10, sometimes that's not the case, you know, where it's like, no, you know, I'm the first actor, I'm the first cinematographer, whatever. I'm not, unless my memory fails me, you might be the first of, maybe the first in a while, where it's like, nah, I come from this. You know, I come from raw poetry and artistic expression, and that's just how I lead my life. So that's really cool, actually, to have that from all sides of your family, it sounds like. Has that ever been challenging if you ever encountered that? And maybe there's the pressure of deadlines. Maybe no one even means any harm, but you got to get the job done. And we know that's not you per se. You can balance both.
I would say, and perhaps the more that I'm in like this freelance space and working with different people and stuff, I'll encounter more of that. But I haven't had a whole lot of experiences with that. But when I have, at first it would be like, what, you know, we're supposed to just do this, you know, because we love it. And like, you know, why so much pressure, like blah, blah, blah. But I think recently I've been coming to realize just in general that everyone, I don't want to say it, like everyone has a starting point or like a foundation from which they understand how to navigate their life, right? And so that may not look like how I do it, but it's how they have learned to do it. And like I said earlier, I do want to be in a space where I encourage people, regardless of what position or title or these things that make us believe that, like, oh, you know, I'm these, you know, experts and like I know what I'm doing and the business and money, we should be making money and like all these things, right? These are just conditions that people have learned to be under. And some people really believe in that condition, just as I believe in the power of art for art's sake. They might believe just as wholeheartedly in art for capitalism's sake, or you know what I mean? And so I guess I just understand that I may not necessarily gel with those people. We may not necessarily build together, but I can always find myself in whatever I'm doing. And I also truly believe that wherever we find ourselves in our in a moment of life is where we're meant to be. Whoever we're talking to and interacting with and collaborating with in a moment of life is what it's meant to be, right? And so how can, and I'm talking to myself even for the future, it's like, how can I maintain my foundation? How can I remember the reason and the source of it all and still bring that into it, even if they don't see it that way, or even if they don't operate from that space, you know? So it's just like being planted in who I am.
Mm-hmm. Being well-rooted. You do come across that way. And I know we've all got to be able to navigate that, because everyone's experiences are going to be different, be it in the indie space, the more mainstream space. Everyone's going to face different challenges, which is one of the reasons I'm grateful to be able to chat with you and have these spaces, because I hope people can listen back, myself included. Similar to you saying, talking to yourself for the future, like a sense of reminder, because every project's going to be different. Every condition will be different. Something might be a cakewalk one season, and then you might be dealing with all types of other challenges the next. So thank you for clearing that up, and kind of shining a light on that balance. That's great. What does being a multi-hyphenate artist mean to you?
The first thing that came to my mind is it just means existing as yourself. You know, I think that just generally, I actually told this lady this on the phone earlier, because she was calling me about like from like the Democratic Party, and she's like, Trump is gonna get in office and we need our Senate majority and like get the money and like we need to blah blah, you're gonna donate. It was just really intense and really like whatever. And I was telling her that for me, I'm looking forward to a world where we're not so like tightly identified with these like concepts or these like ideas of self. So it's like, oh, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a this, I'm a that. So I kind of take that as I'm learning to release myself from that, these concepts, I kind of take that into even that, like the multi-hyphenate, and just remember it as just being who I am. Like I was talking to my friend about something similar yesterday, when there was this time, really it was like last year, when I, again, coming out of the more structured spaces into something that is like, all right, what do I do now? I was like questioning, like, oh, should I lead with photography? I don't want people to think I'm just that. Should I lead with directing? All of these things that was causing confusion in my mind around how I'm supposed to show up. And this last experience with this photography program reminded me as well that like I'm all of the things, and I've always been all of the things, even before I came into this industry, you know, before I interacted with the people that I've interacted with. Because since I was a kid, I was writing and taking pictures and drawing and short stories and plays, whatever. It's always been all the things. So multi-hyphenate to me just means being. It just means, you know, if you have something that you love to do, do that thing. Like if you have something that moves your spirit, go toward that thing, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter that for 10 years you were doing this thing. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready to move on to the next thing? Do that. It doesn't matter if like tomorrow I do photography, and then the next day I do directing, and the next day I do something, you know, because we're so expansive as spirits. We're so expansive, and we're so much more, I think, just larger than we've all been taught that we are, and that we don't have to fit into any boxes. So that's kind of like how I feel.
That's amazing. I love that. So we mentioned a few, in fact. Would you mind listing off, so far anyway, the art forms that you do like to work in? We've talked about photography.
Yes, photography, directing, particularly in the music space. I love music. It's been the leader of my art in a lot of ways for a lot of my life. When I was young, I used to hear like a line in a song, and then I would write a poem based on this line of song. Like I used to watch this show, you know, the show where they had the movie first, Fame, And then they had the show Fame. And so I used to watch, my auntie had it on DVD and I used to watch Fame. And there was this one song, I can't remember the song, but one of the characters was saying like, it was, they were saying electricity, but the way they were saying it sounded like Electric City. So I took Electric City and wrote a poem based on that. And it's funny because I read it, like I wrote it in like 2009. I found it on Facebook when I was like going through my stuff. And it was about like the changes that technology will bring and like how, you know, it could be not that great for us if we spend too much time with it or whatever. But that came out of hearing the guy say electricity in a specific way, you know?
Right.
So music has always been the leader of everything that I've done. So directing in the music video, live performance space. I haven't really written a lot of poetry in a long time, but I love poetry. I love writing like prose, just like free writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, what did I want to say after that? Well, yeah, those are the main things. I mean, I also like to paint and draw and stuff like that, but I wouldn't consider myself like a painter, but I do like love those things.
And how did you, forgive me if you mentioned it earlier, how did you get involved in TV and film eventually?
Yeah, so it started with, that was my major at Howard. I always wanted to,
Howard, H-U.
H-U. wait, did you go there?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, so, my bad, y'all. I didn't mean to say it like I was not supposed to say that. I went, if you've been following, I went to Towson University.
Okay.
So I was a Tiger, but I grew up in the DMV. And so, you know, DC was like 20 minutes from me, and I got other friends and family that went to Howard. You know, I just talked to Tiffany Silver Tucker. You guys, y'all remember she went to Howard and stuff. So yeah. So I always smile though when I meet folks who are like, "Oh, you went to Howard." So you were in the DMV for a little while. So yeah.
Yes, I was. Awesome. First of all, I love DC. I miss DC. It's a great just place to be. And but that was my major there. When I was growing up, my aunt, she would always buy me these DVDs of shows from like the 70s. So I was watching like Good Time, Sanford and Son, The Jeffersons, Different Strokes. I watched The Waltons, which is a great show to this day. A Highway to Heaven, A Different World, The Cosby Show, like just all of these stuff from the 70s and 80s. And I would look at the credits. And I would be like, I want to do that thing. I want to have multiple shows on at the same time. I want to write. I want to work with actors. I want to, you know, that was my thing. And so that's what I chose to major in college. And then I think the big thing came when I applied to this foundation called the Emma Bowen Foundation. And that, do you know the Emma Bowen? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I was a part of that program. And, you know, Emma Bowen spent a lot, like journalism. I want to say even like PR, but I might be wrong about that. But for sure, journalism. And then the more traditional like TV and film or, you know, narrative space. And so I was in that. That gave me an opportunity to intern back here in LA at Sci-Fi at NBC Universal. And so I did that during my summers. I would come back home and go to NBC Universal and intern there. From there, I joined this Google group. It's called We Are the Industry. And it was founded by a Howard alum who was, you know, here in LA and recognized, this is back even before social media was as big as it is today.
Sure. But
she recognized the importance of us coming together and having a space to be able to offer jobs to one another, to just know each other, you know? So someone who's also a Howard grad, she had gone to Howard Law. I do not know her name or remember her name, but she was working at NBC Universal and she told me about it. And then from there, I reached out to that group because I wanted a writing mentor. And I was like, hey, I'm looking for a mentor. Is anyone available? And this woman who reached out named Kristen Carter, who's also a great person, I will send you her information so you can look at her stuff too. But Kristen Carter, she reached out to me and we remained connected throughout the years, and she became my mentor. And she was very good friends with a man named Benoni Tego, who is the president of radio now. But at the time, he was Issa's business partner. And she knew him, and they needed someone to work in the office. She remembered me, and she asked me if I was available. And so that's how that part. I'm skipping a little bit because I'm actually skipping this job called Super Deluxe that I got after I came back from college. But I just wanted to connect that when I worked at Sci-Fi, the importance of community and that person telling me, like, hey, here's this group, join this group, and me finding someone out of that who helped me throughout my career. So I hope that answered the question.
I'm pretty sure it did, that I got lost in so much of the storytelling. I'm like, wait, what did I ask her? I'm pretty sure you answered.
You asked me like how I got started, or like how I got in the, how I got
that in. That was it. And then that was great, because then the networking, just the more I do it and the more lessons I learn from folks such as yourself, articles I read, other podcasts, whatever, of just stuff that sounds genuine, the more comfortable I feel with networking. I've talked in the past about how, you know, I'm still very introverted, but I used to be introverted and shy, and I used to feel really uncomfortable about networking, and it used to feel really stuffy, really rigid. And this talk is just reminding me of just how there's so much more to it than what I used to think, like, you know, business cards or even just your capabilities. A lot of it is your diligence, showing up as a really cool person, how you pick yourself up if you messed up. And a lot of those things and more can, like, make you memorable, just as Sister Girl remembered you and made and recommended you when she was like, y'all need to hire Jabrielle. Y'all need to welcome her into, you will succeed if you bring her in. You know, she put her name out there for you. And this is just reminding me how important that is, and how I'm like, man, there's just so much more, like you've been talking about, how there's more to us as artists and spiritual beings. I'm like, there's so much more also to networking and meeting people, and it's all art. That's the cool thing. There's so much more than I thought. You know?
Yes, I love that. And what people can remember too, even with the networking piece, because there are those parts of it that are that. Like, you know, like, oh, here's this mixer I have to go to, and like, we're supposed to talk to people we don't know. Like, it's a little weird. There are those parts of it that exist. But, and I think too, when you're first getting started, you know, you want to connect with everyone, and there's benefits in that. But there's also the reminder that, you know, there's always a beautiful synergy, like, going on all the time. And when we remember that, like, there's those natural connections too,
right?
Those will come, like, you know, like, those will just fall into place if you put yourself in a position to have those things fall into place. But those will fall into place, and we won't have a good connection or a strong connection with every single being, you know, like, it just won't always be the case. But to have true faith in your process, like, along this journey, and, you know, if I may say, like, you're talking about your struggles, but where you are now, you seem perfectly wonderful at this. And just even you creating this space and continuing forward is beautiful, and that's just going to keep, like, blossoming into more. I believe that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I take that to heart, because I am thinking about how you know, there was some stumbling. We've all done it, so it's okay. It's not unique to me. But I'm definitely in a quick flash there was like, you know, I struggled here, and here. But look where I'm at now. And look at how I can, like, build on some of this stuff later as I go. And, like, because my own dad, you know, I think is very proud of me in that regard. He's always talking about how, Josiah, you be knowing some people. And he's introverted just like myself. And so that might be some of where it comes from, where he's like, just keep doing what you're doing, son, because people like talking to you. People like, whether it's on the mic or just out, you know, in the community or when we're traveling or whatever. But sure, certainly when art comes up in film and things like that, he's like, somehow you're recommending someone a job or someone's teaming you up with someone. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. And so, yeah, thank you, Jabra. I really, really receive that. Not for real.
You're welcome.
Okay, so you mentioned something earlier that we definitely, let's go ahead and touch on it. Some of y'all caught it. She mentioned someone that we all really, really enjoy. So let's visit there for a little bit. You were talking about the opportunity to work with Issa Rae. Is there anything more you can talk about, even lessons learned or just experiences you won't soon forget? Or maybe it informs things that you're like, this is going to go well because I worked with her, Rae, because of these lessons. Can you talk about the opportunity to work with Issa Rae, with her Rae Media?
Yes, yes. So the first thing I'll say is that when I first started working there, it was in 2016. And at this time, it was called Issa Rae Productions. And they were only like six people there. I think I was like the sixth, or may have been the seventh. But it was a very small group of people. And we were in an office in Inglewood. And one thing that I always say is, when I first got there, it was six people. When I left, five, 6 years later, there was a record label. There was a management company, and there was, you know, TV and film doing its thing, you know, and producing shows and developing films. And, you know, her so-called star power had risen, and more people had an opportunity to know who she is. And the grace, the authenticity, you know, that she brings to this business. Like we've talked about in different things, sometimes being in this and you having to shift yourself a bit according to what someone else says you are. She's never done that. You know, she has never, ever done that. And that's one of the biggest takeaways that I have of her, is she allowed herself to build with people, one, to trust herself, to trust her ideas enough to do them, right? Like that's one of the biggest, sometimes the biggest hurdles that like stop us sometimes from like, doing our thing, is like a little bit of doubts or whatever. And even if she had those things, they did not prevent her from going forward. Like the will and the drive to put it out there was grander, was greater than like whatever insecurity she may have had, you know? And so that led people to her. She attracted team members to her, people that wanted to build with her, because she was like, I'm doing this thing. And other people was like, oh, you're doing this thing? I love what you're doing. I want to join in, you know? And so like, that's one of the biggest things that she has taught me and continued to teach me, is the beauty of being yourself, the beauty of trusting your ideas, putting them out there, and knowing that the right team of people that are meant to help us cultivate, because we can't do anything alone. Literally nothing exists in nature on its own. So we're a part of that. You know, we're part of the natural world, where it takes a multitude of things to create something. And so that's what she's done, you know, in that space. And working there and watching it build over time was really incredible. Her work ethic, her ability to care for other people while she was doing all these things where she was extremely busy, her ability to like keep people that she trusted and loved and who had been there from the beginning with her along the journey. You know, sometimes you'll see things where it may not happen like that, you know, but she, because of who she is, people stuck around and like I said, just like created with her. And why I mentioned Benoni, who when he first started, he had a deep career already in music and was an amazing businessman. But he was able to grow even with her. And now he's the president of the record label that did not exist when I first started there, you know? So for me too, when I left, I was like, look at what Issa did in 5 years. Yes, she had help. Yes, she had a show, but it was because she planted the seeds. And so I was like, man, if she can do this in 5 years, what can my 5 years look like? Like, if I really believe in myself, if I do the work, what will my world look like, you know? So I feel like those, that was the biggest takeaway that I, it was so many. Like, I got a chance to be on set, realize how much I love being on set, how much I love that process through my time at Hooray. Just like, again, just being authentic, being authentic.
That's amazing. And it's cool to hear you shout out different people. Cause I've seen, I'm pretty sure I've seen Benoni like share, business tips and things like that with the different segments. Hooray. You know, if you guys listening and watching are fans of Issa Rae and Hooray, we don't have to tell Jabrielle. She's very generous and her team are very generous with resources. You know, the SIP, talk show, build the table, and on. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but there's always some type of interview series or mini documentary series trying to kind of part the veil for folks to see, like, well, I guess like you said, like, what could your 5 years look like, or what could this look like if you find where you get in by listening to this person talk, if you listen to this person show you around the office, show you the round table, kind of net out, this is what my trajectory looked like. It didn't look like this in 2006 or whatever it was. Now look at it. And the practical business acumen, but as well as the personableness and things of that nature. So that was cool that you also mentioned him, because I was like, yeah, radio didn't exist. Now look at him.
Not a thing.
That was not a thing. Now look at it. That's amazing.
Now look at it. It's literally like they have a music supervision arm. They have a record label. Like, they help provide music. That was the other thing. Like, this is, and the thing that's important to know is, like, none of these things are like new concepts, right? Like, there have been soundtracks for films, and, you know, we love the stuff from the 90s. And like, I love a lot of stuff that Curtis Mayfield did in the 70s, like for soundtracks and stuff like that. And so these are not new things, but she and the whole team are able to bring their own stamp to this world and create a space for themselves. Like, they, everything that she's done has been like, I'm creating this, and everybody's like, oh, how could I join? Like, it's always been like that, you know? So yeah, it is so beautiful to witness that, and it helps us see the possibilities for our lives.
I love that. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more with Jabrielle Henning-Rayford. Okay, great. We'll be right back, guys.
This episode of Josiah's Voice podcast is brought to you by Newsly. Newsly is an audio app for iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics on the web at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural, smooth human voice. It won't be my voice, but no app is perfect, but this one's pretty close. Because for the first time in the history of the internet, the entire web becomes listenable. Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. You can follow any topic as specific as you like, from sports, science, to Bitcoin, or pop culture and movies. It will find you the latest articles and read them to you aloud. And they have podcasts as well, exploring trending podcasts from over 50 countries. Like this one. Download and use Newsly for free now from www.newsly.me. That's www.newsly.me. Or from the link in the description. And use my promo code, Josiah Voice. Josiah Voice. I'll put that in the description for you. When you click it, you'll receive a 1 month free premium subscription to Newsly. Stop scrolling. Start listening with Newsly.
Cool. And we're back with Jabrielle. We were just discussing just all of her amazing takeaways from her time working with Hooray. That's Issa Rae's company. And I was reminded that this is full circle, because for all of you who have followed the show, but also those who are new, I'm a big fan of Issa Rae myself. I was privileged to work on the final season 5 of Insecure. Feels like it was 100 years ago already, and that's just from a PA standpoint. I can only imagine how Issa May or May feel about it, but I'm like, wow, that was kind of like 2-3 years ago. Why does it feel like it's so much longer ago? But I had the opportunity to meet Issa. I think, in fact, it was the last day. It might have been the last day of filming. She signed my book, her memoir, Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl, and we got to chatting, and she had mentioned you, Jabriel. And she was like, we were talking about writing, I think, because I was very inspired by Issa's just love for the pen and love for screenwriting. And from there, I learned about, what's the publication? Voyage LA, I think. I think I've been able to be. And we met through that. And I was like, wow, she's got a lot more going than it was just like a 5-minute conversation. But I just want to say, thank you, Issa Rae. This is actually full circle, come to think of it, from the close of that chapter to her singing your praises, Jabriel. She really just seemed to be very impressed, was proud of wherever you were at that time, in your season at that time. She was like, I think you'd get along with Jabriel because we really enjoyed having her with us. And I was like, wow, she sounds awesome. And I was like, Issa Rae's camp sounds really amazing. And everything we were just saying about the generosity of information, of education, of parting the veil. So I want to say, thank you again, Jabriel, for sitting down to talk with me. And thank you, Issa Rae. I'm very grateful for this full circle moment to be able to talk to you. That's pretty wild. And to have that in common. Awesome. So you've done a lot of other things. We will get back to freelance in a minute, but maybe we can continue with the, for lack of a better term, maybe more mainstream for just a moment, gems and things learned there. You are also a creative director. I hope I have that right. Do I have that right?
It's more like creative producing. Like the names are so weird. Like everything is so combined. But like I think what people might more understand is like creative producing, which is helping to facilitate what the actual thing is that we're doing, like what the show is, and helping to pull together like the concept and the format and stuff like that. That would be like creative production.
Okay. And so some of your credits include productions like The Playback, What Say What, If These Locks Could Talk, which is actually a documentary I've been waiting to see for a while. I wasn't able to go to the premiere.
It's coming. And stuff.
It's coming? Okay.
Yeah.
She Made It, which at the time of this recording is something you were, I think, just recently, I believe, a part of. Is it correct that you were a creative producer on all of these projects that I just listed?
So creative producer on The Playback, on What Say What. And then what did you mention something before She Made It? Oh, If These Locks Could Talk. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Cause that was just a matter of like a small team. We were all working together. And then She Made It was actually a director's program. And it was, founded by a woman named Sade Smith. And she owns a company called Everyday Dreamer. She's a video commissioner, music video commissioner. And she's been doing her own thing. And she wanted to, the same way that you talk about what Issa does, of lifting the veil, that was the same thing or the same inspiration behind her starting this program. She Made It. And she really wanted it to be like, hey, if you want to do music videos, you can. And this is what this world looks like. And come in, let me bring all of the people I know together, video commissioners, record label executives, directors, producers, so that we can let you know, this is the process and all of that. So that was a really incredible experience because, again, I got to be a student again, and we had to write a music video treatment, and we had opportunity for that treatment to be reviewed and we get feedback. And she's extending the program even further to give us mentorship. So we have like a 12-week set up with mentors so that it didn't just end with those 3 days. So that was an incredible program. But as far as the creative production, yes, the Playback, which is a music series, and What Say What was also a music series. I did creative production as well as directing for those two pieces. And If These Lies Could Talk, I was also a director.
That's awesome. What was it? Because you mentioned music. Let's talk about that for a second. What was the experience like being in the music space? Because it's one of your favorites. So you were combining with those new projects, your love of production, directing, and music, and these new shows. Yeah. What was that like?
It was incredible. It was really incredible. I would say, What I had been developing for some time with Hooray, my colleagues there, and Smino, who was our featured artist. He's awesome. An incredible artist.
Yes, he is.
Yes, just a great writer, and just the way that he has chosen to present himself in this world, and you know, he's clearly just a star. You know, a star, and so. Like I said earlier, music has always been a part of my life. I love music artists. I love understanding or getting a sense of their process. Like, oh,
you love process
so much.
Okay.
Yeah, I really do. I really do. And especially for something like that, like music to me is one of the greatest forms of expression that we have. And I think that it is the biggest connection that we have to life beyond this world, you know, like it is the God connection. Like, I really feel like, you know, there's church, there are these other things, but music is it translates across the world. You can be listening to a song in a different language. You don't know what it means, but you can feel that thing. That is like, you know, that is the larger world. Music and nature to me are like those two biggest connectors. And so, yeah, to be able to work with music artists, I'm very thankful for. My favorite part of both of those productions, the Playback and What Say What, was the performance part. Both of those had interview parts, and I love interviews too, because like I said, getting to the heart of things is important to me. But the music performance, that you just watch them just turn on that connectivity. They become that vessel. They, you know, and they just allow themselves to be, you know, fully. And I really love capturing that, especially. what was I talking about? Oh, the music piece. Yes, that was incredible. And I also learned a lot during those two projects. I have been developing the What Say What when I was still employed with Hooray, but then in the middle of that time, that's when I became freelance. And again, that period of coming out of the structured environment was really like, okay, who am I now? How am I strong as a director in terms of a vision and being able to articulate that vision? And there were a lot of times where I didn't know whether or not I could do that or whether I felt as confident enough to be strong in myself. When you're interacting with other people who may have more experience than you, and like, you know, I found myself in sometimes leaning on their experience, which is good in a sense, but not if it takes you too far away from like being in yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. So during those two projects, there were a lot of times, and it came out wonderfully. And again, I think that everything works together the way that it's supposed to. This filmmaking is a collaborative experience. And that's another thing that I'm remembering. Like, it's not about whether or not I have all the answers. It's not about whether or not, you know, everything is like coming from me. That's not how anything works, you know? So those two opportunities gave me a chance to remember like the importance of collaboration, to remember to, if I do have something to say, to be strong in what I have to say, to not compromise my vision if I intuitively know like this is what needs to be done, you know? So I will say that I had such a positive experience and then also such a growth experience through those two projects to remember who I am as an artist, to remember who I am as a person, to stand up and believe in myself and all those things. I know that it can go off in a tangent, but
No, it's okay. Now that was great. And I was also thinking, if the timing is right, I think the first episode with Smino, I think, came out, what was it, December 2021? I had just landed in Kigali, Rwanda when that dropped.
What is that?
That's the capital city of Rwanda. Or we say Rwanda. I think it's Rwanda.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know. Okay.
I didn't know either until I got there, or, well, research and whatnot. And I remember that was just really cool to be in a new place. And then I saw you and the team drop it on Instagram, and I was like, "Hey, yo, that's Jabrielle. I wonder what she had cooking up here." And I'm like, "Yo, I've never heard of this guy." I recognize some of the other players involved in interviews and things like that. And I was like, "Yo, this is a new show. This is who, you know." And at the time, Insecure had just. Was it the finale? Yeah, I think the finale was about to happen. I was like, "Hooray is doing too many things." Like, good. So that was. I remember that was a cool experience too. To my life was changing, just as yours was with the development and the release of a new amazing project, combining your love of cinema and music and developing that project and just getting into your process thing. That you love so much. That's super, super cool. Let's see, what else have we got here? Okay, that was great. Let's resume freelance. So you said that it's, if I remember right, it's still new, so it's a new journey and things like that. Let's say for right now, we're about halfway through 2023. What's like one lesson you've learned from freelance where you're like, you know, you've done a lot of industry work. Now you're really making this freelance thing happen. How's that going?
Yes, I will say that one of the biggest lessons that I am learning is, you know, you are your representation, you know, you are your representation. Some people, you know, in terms of like people are like, "Oh, I need a manager, I need an agent." And those things are very beneficial if you are looking to be within the more traditional entertainment space, right? Like that helps a lot. But until that time comes, you are that for you. And I also had someone, and people, whatever people believe, I also had someone say, like, you know, God is your representation. Or God, actually, someone told me God is your employer. Your employer, or whatever you want to call it, universe, source, spirit, whatever the language is that, you know, you use to identify that connection, that someone reminded me of, like, that energy is the representation. You are the representation. And so I have had to remember to put myself out there, to say what I've done, to, in some ways, approach people. There's this delicate balance between the things we have control over in this life and things that come to us, you know, through time and naturally. But sometimes you do have to send an email. That's what I learned too through the She Made It program, or that's what I was reminding of through the She Made It program, of like, don't be afraid to, you know, send an email and say, "Hey, I'm this person. This is what," you know, if you are looking for new artists, sometimes those things can sound like, oh, like a big deal, but it's really more simple than that. And so, yeah, as for freelancing, that's the biggest thing. And that's what I'm finally coming out of my shell on. And it may look different on the outside, because people might see me and think like, "Oh, I feel like you put yourself out there." But for me, I know how much of a struggle it's been, and I don't always show the fullness of who I am. And so now I'm getting back to that point of being like, "Hey, this is who I am," because, you know, and if there's synergy, I think that's a good reminder that just as I'm looking to work with people, I know that people are also looking to work with folks as well. So there's this balance. It's not just like begging people for a job, but it's that like, part. Hey, if we connect and we can make something together, let's do it.
Mm. Yeah, my dad once said, like, when you're going out for a job, you're also interviewing the boss too. Like, it's you're not begging for a job, even if you're begging for a job, but you do get to, you know what I'm saying? No, you're good. It's like, no, no one's forcing you to take the job. If there's something about, I don't know, the salary, the commute, the office culture, or the culture of the job, you know, maybe it's an office, maybe it's in the field, whatever, you get to dictate what it is that you want just as much as they do. So that came to mind when you said that. I think that's powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to remember that. We must. And I think it's important that we must, because, you know, we live in this world of like hierarchy, and those things of like elders in your lives in respect to all people. But it's the reminder that like no one is bigger than someone else. Like no one is greater than another person.
Right.
And so we remember that, and we're moving in spaces. It's like, no, like this is about seeing if this and if it works for what we want to do in our lives. So yeah, it's important.
Very, very important. Yes. Jabriel is also a writer. You had said of prose, you also, but you do write for film as well. You'd have to, right? I have that correct.
Yes, I will. It's been a while. I've written some things for myself, but that is, screenwriting is such a specific muscle. And if you do not exercise that muscle, it's going to get weak, you know? And so, you know, you can always exercise it again and let it strengthen. But I will say that just throughout the years, I haven't been as much of a writer, but I keep that as a part of who I am, because it is a part of who I am. So, you know, as far as the screenwriting is concerned, I'm not as confident there just because it's been a while and I'm getting back into it, but I wouldn't necessarily call myself like a screenwriter right now. Though I have written scripts. It's an interesting place. Yeah.
No, it is. I think I'm right there with you. The past 2-3 years, in honesty, I haven't, you know, I've written some things actually for myself as well. Like you were saying, you've written for yourself. But, you know, nothing that I wanted to like submit to a festival or that I wanted to film or anything like that.
Exactly.
It's been more so writing for myself. Especially as it pertains to screenwriting, but expressing myself through the podcast and through video interviews and through video specifically and things like that, and just kind of going where the bliss takes me.
Yes. Ooh, yes.
But I can ask one writing question, or even if it was something you'd have to recall, what would your process have been? For example, does story come to you first, or maybe does a character come to you first, out of curiosity?
Yeah, a lot of times it's a character. Sometimes it'll be a while before I have any story. And I'm like, I don't even know what this story is, but I really love this character, or I love this idea of what they may be, what this person may be dealing with. So that's where it starts. And then I had an opportunity to write this piece that, well, Issa was in this like campaign for a company, a clothing brand called Madewell. And so I wrote like a poem for Issa, and I worked together to write this poem for this spot. And that was something that I really enjoyed. And in that way, I was very familiar with her because like I worked there, but for 2 of the years that I worked there, I was her personal assistant. So I was very close and aware of her voice and what her world was like. So I was able to pull from that. And I'll say, as I'm remembering myself as a writer and coming back into that space, you always hear people say, like, write what you know. And sometimes, you know, some people have great imaginations and have never experienced certain things and can still, like, write great stories. Like, Shonda Rhimes is one of those people who she creates these worlds that, like, you know, she wasn't in herself, but she's really good at, like, building that. Mm-hmm. But I would say for me, because I'm also this person that loves to pay attention, I'm an observer, and I love to pay attention to the moment, what's around me. Like, I'm always pulling from these real life experiences. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'll either start with character, I'll see someone, and I'm like, ooh, that's a character. Or my friends will tell me a story that's something that happened in their lives. And I'll be like, that's a story. Like, and I'll tell them, like, oh, if you ever see that somewhere, you know, just know because you told me, like, you know. So yeah, those places, character, real life experiences, those are often my starting points.
Brilliant. And you know, you just gave me a question idea. What advice would you give to someone who is going out for being an assistant to a professional, especially in the Hollywood space or in the film space, or they just got hired? What advice would you give them to be the best?
Ooh, or they just got hired. That would be, I feel that, because the way that I came in, I was not looking to be her assistant. It really happened that way. Okay. And I remember when I first got the job, you know, just hear like, oh yeah, sometimes being people's assistants are like, they're horrible or like they are mean or whatever. And Issa was not like that by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't until I got a chance to really be with her to know. And at first I was in my head like, yeah, I'm gonna be on set, I'm gonna have her coffee waiting for her, and you know, she's gonna have everything she needs as soon as she's off. But that's not what she needed. She literally needed someone who could do the things that she just could not do because her time was being spent elsewhere. She was on set. So that included dropping things off somewhere, or making an appointment, or going to pick something up, you know. But I learned very quickly to pay attention to what she actually needed from this role, you know. I also was, at the time, was very adamant about not being too involved or trying to like push myself into places, yeah, where I didn't need to be, like, because I never wanted to come off as someone that was like taking advantage or like trying to be in someone's face or like, sure, you know, because she had people around her. And you mentioned a sip, and we would have different sip events where I remember one time Regina King came and Mary Jenkins was a guest, and like all these different people who I admire and look up to. But I would always make sure I was like over here, because I just never wanted it to even appear like I was like trying to like, you know what I mean? Like weave my way. And that's not in my nature at all, but I made a point to like really make sure that that didn't happen. And so, yeah, I would say for anyone, just recognize like what you are doing in this moment, in this role. If you have to have a sit down conversation with a person to ask them like what their needs are and how you can be of service in this time that you're together, because that's all it is. It's like literally just you're needed for the things you can't do. Now, there are people who take advantage of these, like, of people who work in these places. I know that that is the case. But like I said, that wasn't my experience. It was just a matter of learning what she needed and then adapting myself and taking away some of my preconceived notions of what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
That's awesome. It reminds me, I've said this before. Was a director's assistant on, I think, the first season of America's Funniest Videos, Animal Edition. Ooh. And I worked with these two awesome directors, Liz and Jerry. And at first I was a regular PA, and then the ladies wound up meeting someone. And at first I, you know, was a little nervous too. I was like, man, I ain't never done this before, but it sounds cool. You know, what is it they need? And it turned into, off the top of my head, it was things like keeping pens and highlighters either on me or, you know, at the table. I think one time I ran to either drop off or get, I don't remember, Alfonso Ribeiro's jacket or something, because they were like playing with the thermostat or something like that. Or I was running back and forth with one of the writers, you know, just trying to print off different printables that they needed while they were, point being, it was just whatever Liz and Jerry needed. And I didn't have to be in my head. I didn't get yelled at because I was just sitting there watching them direct and work with the lighting, you know, Mr. Calderon and different people. Like, it was okay. I wouldn't do it because, and also I had come off a show, you know, prior to the Rona, where, you know, everything was regular. I was running around like a regular PA. So I was used to being on the go all the time. I was used to, you know, don't be idle and things like that. And so at first, that was one of the reasons I was in my head when I was assisting Jerry and Liz. I was used to, like, I gotta look busy. But I quickly learned, no, you don't need to look busy. You just need to look available when they ask you for whatever they're gonna ask you for. And you're doing your job. So you brought that to mind.
That's it.
Do what's required.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really the extent of it. Like sometimes, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. And it's also a reminder, we all are in this business because we have things we want to do, right? Most people don't want to be career assistants. There are some people that are, but most people that are like in their early years are not trying to do that. And everyone knows that. And hopefully people will be paired with folks who care about their trajectory, who care about where they go and stuff like that. But the main thing is getting the job done. And usually most of those people will be like, so what do you want to do? They'll sit down with you. You know, what do you want to do? What's your interest? Blah, blah, blah. And then that's when you take it to the next level.
That's when you do that. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. In what ways has photography affected your other talents?
Yes, that's something I talk about all the time, because as a photographer, I love it because it's a slower process. It's not as many people involved. And it really allows me to just simply, again, find the moment. These are moments that may not come just by way of my own mind. I have to be in this experience in order to now use it for something. So one thing that I love so much is as a director and a photographer, I can use my photography as references for the work that I do. So if I'm thinking about a music video, I may have a picture, you know, that is showcases what I want to do with this shot or something like that. Or because I've now captured this picture, like that happened to me. I took these engagement photos and the photos were so great and the time I spent photographing, I was like, I can do a video that's inspired by this. Or like, I can do this, like this quick little thing that has two lovers and they're dressed a certain way, blah, blah. And I may not have had that idea had I not photographed that couple, you know? So photography helps inspire everything, like everything. Like I said, you can use it for like your own work, for your other work rather.
In fact, what is your approach to directing? Or did you hint at it a little bit just then? Is there a difference?
There's not much of a difference. I think what I always look to do is find the heart of something. Find the heart of what, especially if it's something where someone else is coming to me and they have an idea. How can I find what the essence is of what they're doing? Where's the love? Where's the heart? And that can sound abstract or whatever, but what I really just mean is like, whatever, like if a person wants to tell a story about the first time they ever ate their favorite sugar cookie or something, I don't know, if they ever ate their favorite cookie or something, it's like, what made that special? Is it because their grandmother made it for them? And so if we're directing it, then now I know, like, okay, the love of this cookie is really housed in their relationship with their grandmother.
Yeah.
I just made that up, something like that. But like, that's where I always like to start, is really having an understanding of where something is coming from, because all art, you know, starts from this place of love. Even if it's like art because you're angry, like that's still, there's this love, there's this passion in what you're doing. And so I always want to find that and then figure out how I can translate that visually, whether that is in like colors or, you know, the cinematic language. Like, that's one thing that I'm remembering too, of like, cinema is a tool. It's not just like pretty images. It's a tool to tell a story. And like, you can have a certain camera angle that makes you feel a certain way. And it's, I'm being challenged, or I'm being reminded to incorporate that into my work, because that's how you stand out. Like, anybody can use cinema in all kind of ways. So that's like, that's are always my initial approaches. Like, what's the heart of this? And then how can we translate it to the screen? I appreciate these questions because it's helping me a lot. It's helping me.
Oh, you're welcome. In fact, you mentioned colors. Do you have a favorite element of photography, like color, shadow, light?
Silhouette. I love silhouette. Love shadows. I love shadows. I love photographing people's shadows. I love photographing my shadow. I think shadows are super cool because they like give you this other sense of like you, who you are, because they can be super long or like really weird or like whatever. And it's just the form. It's not like what you look like as in your body. It's just the form of your body, but it's a different form of it because it's because of whatever, however the light is casting, it's making it look longer or whatever. Like, you know, I love that. Recently I've been wanting to do more photography of people from far away, because I think that we are in this world and there's this really heightened sense of yourself or of the physical body. There's this really like self-inflated thing going on. And even again with like politics and everyone's like, I know the answer. I'm like, I control this or whatever. And really we're very small. We're very small in our bodies. Like, we're not as like, you know, in control as we believe ourselves to be. And when you look at people from afar, you see that. Like, you could be 6 feet tall, but if you're standing from way far, you still look tiny. Mm. But if you're up in the air, we're just little ants, you know, like on the ground.
Yeah.
So that's something that's been interesting, that has interested me too, to like put more focus there.
You just reminded me with Control. That was one of the first short films I saw on your Vimeo account when we first got into contact. And you were talking about how, everyone was for sure, but I like how you highlighted it, where you were like, we're just trying to figure out how to process not having control with stay-at-home orders and just trying to be safe and things like that. 2023, you've worked in industry, mainstream industry. You're in freelance right now. You're doing your own thing. What's your relationship to control now as a businesswoman, as an artist?
That's a great question. Ooh, I feel the same way. You know, we only have this moment, and it can be really difficult when we, can you still hear me? Okay. All my devices are going out because my AirPods just did it. Well, one of them's still alive. But anyway, it can be really difficult sometimes because we do have, as beings on the planet, we're designed to like keep going. Like, all beings are designed to reproduce, to keep going, to blah, blah, blah. And so we have that innate feeling to plan for the future, to do things ahead. But the reality is that we only really have the moment that we exist. I went to this art show, I saw this tattoo on this guy's chest, and it said, now here. It looked like it could be nowhere, but the way it was like separated, it was now here. And he was like, you're never nowhere. You're always now here. You're always in this moment, this present moment. So, and then too, there is no future without what you do in the present moment. Like, you can live your life one way and it's going to be your future because you're just living in your present. Like, you're always in the present, even though you think it's the future. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel I'm still learning, because I'm still learning to, like, not think I have control over everything. We do have the ability to, like, figure out our emotions and figure out how we want to respond in situations. That's a form of control. But the reality is we really don't, because let an earthquake hit, let a tornado hit, you know what I'm saying? We don't have no control, you know?
Yes. I love that so much. So, Jabrio, this has been amazing. I don't want it to end, but we've got to for now. But what's your, let's take it back to the beginning a little bit with your final thoughts. Your best advice for collaborators, especially if you are maybe introverted or shy, but you know you're brilliant.
That's something that I'm still learning, because I also have an introverted side to me. I also have an introverted side to myself. I can play the role of an extrovert if I have to. If I'm in certain settings, I can definitely turn it on. Mm-hmm. But when I'm myself, I love being to myself. I love just, you know what I mean?
Me too.
But I will say, I would say keep expressing yourself in whatever form you are already expressing yourself. There's so much, we do have social media. There's a lot of other things that go on with it that are not positive or not healthy for us, but it's still a tool of connection. It's still a tool of expression. It's still a tool where you can find people who are like you. Earth, Wind, and Fire, they have this song called Fantasy. And there's a line in the song where they say, "You will find other kind that have been in search of you." And I love, yes.
I love that.
That makes me tear up even thinking about that line. I love that line so much because, you know, there really is a space and a community and a soul tribe for every single one of us. So as long as we continue to move as ourselves, as long as we continue to do, like you said earlier, follow the bliss. Following the bliss is what will bring everything to you, will take you toward where you want to go. And some things you will have to do a little bit of, like, stepping outside, right, of what you know. But that's how you get to the other side of whatever. And then that may mean, like, oh, you this event that you saw on Instagram or on TikTok, whatever. I'm not on TikTok. I don't know how it works. But if this event that you saw online, like, and something calls you to be there, like, go. You know, go. You don't know who you're going to meet. You might meet somebody that's just as introverted as you, you know, and just as brilliant as you. Put yourself in position. Trust everything that you make, because it comes from you. If it comes from you, that means that that's something you're supposed to do. I truly believe if you've been given a vision, an idea, it is yours to cultivate. It is yours to create. Yes. And that's really it. Trust your process. In this entertainment world, it's not like being an accountant. I mean, everybody has to trust their process regardless. But it's not like being a lawyer or an accountant or something where there's these clear paths that have sort of been laid out. And you know, if you do this, you'll likely get to this place. There's so many paths in the art world, in various art spaces, so many paths. So trust your path. Trust that what you're meant to do on this earth is yours to do. And everything will fall in place just as it's meant to. And again, with that line, you will find other kind that have been in search of you. And that's it.
That is amazing. Oh, my goodness. What's the song again?
It's called Fantasy by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I'm about to go listen to that. Guys, we all going to go listen to that as soon as we get done with that episode. I don't know if I've heard that song before. Or maybe I have.
You have.
Okay. Because that line, that kind of hit me. Right. I'm clearly being reminded of it at the right time. I hope everyone listening and watching is too. Because that's beautiful. Especially if you are introverted. And look, we not out here roasting extroverts. Everybody welcome here. Okay, don't say that. But it's just, you know, no, if your personality is different, I bet you that song is just what the doctor ordered. That's the perfect place to end. Right there. Thank you for that, Ja. Goodness.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I also like to add one other Earth, Wind, and Fire song. It's called All About Love.
Okay.
Listen to those two songs. They are, yeah. I'm just getting emotional thinking about them.
Oh, wow. Lord, see, we not about to have, tears can be happy too. We're not about to have no crying on the podcast, okay? But no, feel free to emote. Earth, Wind, and Fire is amazing. We're going to listen to both these songs. Ja, this has been great. For those who want to follow your art, follow your career, and what you have next, where can they follow you online?
Okay, yeah, so you can go to my Instagram at Jabrielle. The spelling will be on the title of this podcast.
Yes.
That's my Instagram name. I did have a photography page that's still active, but I decided to move everything to my main page. I decided to move everything to my main page just because I wanted to ensure that, like, there's one landing and people get a full sense of who I am. I don't have to separate myself. That's just something I did for myself. And then from there, you'll see my website and you can always go and dig deeper if you'd like. But Josiah, this has been incredible. I'm so appreciative and grateful. Like I said before, you will be all places, big places. This is already a big place because this is what you created. But just in terms of what we know and identify as your ability to put yourself out there to a larger audience, like, it's just gonna be the case, and that's just it. Like, it's nothing that you can say to stop it, to be honest. Like, as long as you just keep going in this way, like, it's just gonna keep growing.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Ain't no stop. That's not Earth, Wind, and Fire, right? Ain't no stopping us now. No, that's somebody else. That is, but it came to mind.
Whitehead or Whitehead and McFadden.
It's them. But that's what came to mind. It's one of my family's themes, especially when we decided to live international. We were like, it's full steam ahead, you know?
Yes.
And so that came to mind when you gave me that amazing word of encouragement. Thank you so much. If all of you guys feel the same way, go follow Jabrielle. This has been amazing. So thankful for you sitting down with me. Again, I'm so thankful also to you and Issa Rae for basically, I don't know if she knew it, but basically recommending. Did I have the podcast at the time? I might have just launched the podcast when I was on Insecure, come to think of it. So it's just kind of neat for this full circle moment to have connected with you like this. Everyone, you can find Josiah's Voice on Black Filmmaking wherever you get your podcasts. And I just thank you all for listening, giving me your attention. Thank you for following my guests. I hope that you connect with Jabrielle, or at the very least, learn from her and her story online. And until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. See ya.
If you enjoyed that episode, I invite you to subscribe on your favorite listening app. To keep up with the show, you can follow me on Twitter at JosiahDOCX and on Instagram at Josiah's Voice Pod. And if you like my theme music, it's called Brewer B by Mateo. The link is in the description. Thanks again, and talk to you later.